and welcome to those of you in the audience. We have we're going to start today with a work session on House Bill 2575. Jim, you want to bring us up to date?
Yes, sir. House Bill 2575-1 allows the Teacher Standards and Practices Commission to set the time period for issuance of the initial teaching, personal service, and administrative licenses, modifies the requirements for the issuance of continuing teaching, personal service, and administrative licenses, declares an emergency, and takes effect on passage. We have adopted the -1 amendment that states that the TSPC may not require a person to have a master's or a doctoral degree for the issuance or renewal of an initial or continuing license. And we have a -5 to consider today.
Okay. Committee, you remember the last time this bill was up, we were considering a -2 amendment which dealt with teacher portfolios. That Friday morning, a number of us met to consider maybe a better alternative, and we think we've come up with a good solution. Does anyone wish to comment? We do not have a sign-up sheet. Vicki, are you okay with this? I think probably from my perspective, I think we have pretty good agreement on this -5. So we're in work session. Representative Hobson, would you like to make a motion?
Do we need to rescind it?
Yeah. First of all, the -5. Yeah. Sure.
Mr. Chair, excuse me.
No.
Okay. Mr. Chair, I move the -5 amendments to House Bill 2575.
As amended. Okay. Representative Hobson moves the -5 to House Bill 2575 as amended. Any discussion? Okay, very good. Jane, would you? Well, I guess we won't need to call a roll on this one. No objections? Okay. -5s are in. Representative Hobson?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move House Bill 2575 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
And the
subsequent referral to Ways and Means.
Be rescinded.
Sorry.
Thank you, Representative. Representative Hobson moves House Bill 2575 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and a subsequent referral to the Committee on Ways and Means be rescinded. Discussion? Representative Hobson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I still want to express my concern on the -5 amendments where it says that TSPC may not require a person to receive... Oh, wait, I'm reading it incorrectly. That's what happens when I get these at the last moment. Let me withdraw that.
Okay. Well, I think we're okay on this. Gina, would you call a roll, please?
Aye.
Aye.
Excuse?
Aye.
Having received the constitutional amendment, House Bill 2575 as amended is declared passed. We need a carrier. Volunteer. Oh, excuse me.
Oh. Okay.
Representative Farr is a volunteer to carry. Very good. Thank you. We'll close the work session on House Bill 2575. And we'll open the work session on House Bill 2817. Okay, Jim.
Thank you, sir. House Bill 2817 creates the Oregon Post-Secondary Education Council Task Force for the purpose of increasing coordination among post-secondary institutions in the state, specifies duties of the task force, and appropriates $500,000 for the task force support. Since this task force in 2006, we have 7 amendments to consider.
The plot thickens here. We had just until very recently 4 amendments, and now we've added some. So we'll need to work our way through these.
Okay.
And perhaps we'd like to have someone volunteer to come up and discuss Let's discuss the amendment, the dash fives. Do we have someone here to discuss the dash fives? Good. Emerging from the crowd, we see Andrea Henderson.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, I'm Andrea Henderson, Executive Director of the Oregon Community College Association. And we are, as we had spoken last week, have some concerns regarding House Bill 2817. And if the committee were interested in pursuing House Bill 2817, we believe it would be made a better bill by the Dash 5 amendments. Essentially what the Dash 5 amendments do is to amend the section that gives the charge to the committee, or to, I'm sorry, to the task force in terms of the mission of the task force. Specifically, what we change in there is to delete the language that asks the task force to look at the positive outcomes of merging existing state agencies. And we take that language out and allow the task force to look at creating a post-secondary education council, but not give them the purview to look at merging state agencies, nor would to give the task force the ability to plan it, the education in Oregon, but merely to coordinate. Then additionally, the language that talks about changing existing statutes is deleted as well.
Okay. Any questions? Andrew, before we go back to the dash fives, is the Community College Association still okay with the dash ones?
Mr. Chair, our preference would be the dash five amendments over the dash ones.
Okay. Representative Hobson?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Andrew, if I don't put you on the spot too much, in your testimony it said you felt that if we had to go forward with the bill, it would be made better. Would it still be your preference that we not go forward with the bill? Things that are mentioned here already are being done.
Mr. Chair, Representative Hobson, we don't really understand that the need for the bill, because we believe there is coordination among the community colleges, universities, and private schools. Currently, there is a joint board articulation commission that has representatives of the three segments that do talk about articulation issues and other transfer issues that may arise. If the committee obviously is interested in having some type of task force to look at post-secondary education, we're certainly not going to oppose that, but we would hope that the scope of the task force would be limited.
Okay. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Committee, I was also interested in having us take a look at the dash sevens. I presume you have that handy. They're in our packets. This was brought by Representative Avakian and makes a very good point, I think. Representative, would you like to discuss briefly your dash sevens?
Well, sure. Yeah. Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. In summary, the dash sevens simply restrict the task force to Oregon's public schools, as opposed to including the for-profit or otherwise independent private schools.
Thank you. The point of Representative Watkins' amendment, if I don't want to speak for him, but as I understand it, the dash fours mentioned independent colleges and included private for-profit schools. And I think it was our intent to include the independent colleges, not-for-profit schools such as Willamette University, Linfield College, Lewis and Clark College, George Fox University, Pacific University, and not-for-profit private colleges. So that's a consideration, I think, that that we would have needed to kind of review. And so the dash sevens make it only for public. And if we want to deal with that and include the independent not-for-profit, that would require another amendment. Jim, have you seen the dash sixes?
Yes, I did 5 minutes ago.
Yeah, those are very new to us, obviously. Do you want to...
I haven't even had a chance
okay.
to read.
Okay. So I think, yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I could address those a little bit. Okay. They actually go at the end of the bill, and what they do is pretty well outline some additional charges to the task force to allow them to look at some other things, but I think it would be a good idea for folks to have mm-hmm. an opportunity to mm-hmm. look at those. Mm-hmm. And since it appears we're going to ask for another amendment, that might be the opportunity to do that.
Okay. Any other comments? Yeah, I think we've got enough amendments and enough issues that we want to hold this over or make a decision as to what we should proceed with next in regard to House Bill 2817. So we're not going to move this bill today. It is on a work session, but nonetheless, we're not going to do that today. So with that, we will close the work session on House Bill 2817. Okay, we'll open a work session on House Bill 3140.
Thank you, sir. House Bill 3140 prohibits instruction of classes at charter schools, community colleges, or state institutions of higher education on legal holidays or Saturdays. Requires a portion of certain days be set apart and observed by appropriate activities. First applies to the 2003-04 school year. Declares an emergency effective July 1, and we're receiving a -1 amendment, I believe, for this bill.
Okay. And Representative Zahner, you're here to testify, I do believe.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Committee. For the record, Cliff Zahner, District 22. Matt Reed is my legislative assistant, and this is his bill. He knows all about it. This is his first time to testify also, so I'm here for moral support, and I told him you'd treat him real nice. If you didn't, we'll meet afterwards. But
For the record, we'll have to consider that, yeah.
At least as nice as we would treat Representative Zahner.
Yeah. Matt, go ahead.
Would you like me to explain the purpose behind the amendments to the legislation?
First of all, give us your name.
For the record, my name is Matt Reed. I'm a legislative assistant for Representative Zahner.
And start us. Does the dash one substantially change the bill?
Yes, it does. Well, what it does is it removes all references to Saturdays from the bill, because that was not the intention in the first place. The idea behind the bill is to recognize Veterans Day and President's Day at state universities and community colleges, which at least I know as a student from Morgan State, it's not recognized at all. It goes by without passing. It nearly says a word. It's not even mentioned in the daily newspaper that it's Veterans Day. Most students don't even realize that it is. So that was the purpose behind the bill. Even though it never specifically mentions Veterans Day, that is the purpose behind the proposed legislation.
Okay. Matt, have you or any of your, say, college associates, friends, thought about what this bill would do from the perspective of the administration or scheduling of classes, or have you talked to anyone about it at that level?
No, we haven't talked with the administration, but I have talked with some of the employees, and they looked over it with their contracts, and they don't feel as if it would interfere with their contracts that they have with the university at all. But have not talked with the actual administration of the colleges or the university system itself.
Okay. Any other questions or comments? Representative Hobson?
Yes. Do we have anybody from the community college that is interested in weighing in on this? Okay, good. And I have a question then for Matt. When you say that you have talked to people at the community colleges, I think you said faculty.
I'm sorry, not the community college.
Sorry.
It was actually employees, well, SIEU employees, the non, I'm forgetting the term, the non-classified. The classified employees, actually.
Yeah, follow up.
When you say you talked with them, was it a representative of their organization or was it individual?
Yes, it was a representative of their organization.
Okay. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much. We have at least two representatives, it appears, from the community colleges. One or both of you may come up. And we have Lisa Zavala from the Oregon University System as well.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Thank you for the record. Lisa Zavala with the Oregon University System. I've just now received the Dash 1 amendments, and so I'm prepared to actually to speak to the original bill, which we would have objections to, as you can imagine. The university system and its institutions are experiencing an all-time high in enrollment, and our projections call for an even greater increase in enrollment during the next academic year. We are trying to attempt to meet the enrollment challenges by developing and implementing alternative course offerings. So holding courses on Saturdays is an attempt to meet the demands for courses when the demand is high. A more pressing concern, Mr. Chair, members, is the need of lifelong learners. These individuals seek advanced degrees by attending Saturday college and degree completion programs. The system responds to the needs of lifelong learners by offering courses necessary for degree completion when they are able to take them. Our adult students are engaged in careers, work, and family activities and juggle these demands. Working folks expect this kind of responsiveness from us to the many demands of their real lives. Saturday courses offer these individuals the opportunity to obtain advanced degrees. I have some written testimony, and I'm sorry I failed to hand that over to your committee assistant. It gives you some examples of some of the programs that we would not be able to offer if this bill should pass.
Lisa, may I interrupt?
Yes.
The proponents of the bill are willing to amend out the Saturday.
Correct.
Would that make any difference in your testimony or your views on this bill?
Sir, I would have to actually probably run this new language by our human resources officers and determine what impact it may have on our contracts and our expectations for employment from our faculty. It does seem, and I'm scanning it, if you just bear with me, it does seem only to address faculty and not our classified employees, and your earlier witness referenced the SEIU employees, and I don't believe this bill speaks to classified employees on our campuses, so I would have to clarify that with Representative Zahner's staff and with our staff and human resources. But and now at this point, I'm really not sure what the bill is expecting us to do, so I really cannot speak to the amendments, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Rem Nivens, Oregon Community College Association. And based on this conversation, I think with the amendments, since that's what we're looking at, we too would need some time to look into them and see what effect they would have. I can say that for community colleges, it's very much a local governance issue for us in terms of classes that we offer and when we offer them. As you know, the community college mission is very much based on serving the community, the local community, and what they need, and particularly our ability to offer classes when people want to take them. In the original bill with the Saturday portion, that would have a huge effect on our community colleges. I think most, if not all of them, offer classes on Saturdays. Portland Community College, for one, offers hundreds of courses on Saturdays. In terms of the Dash 1s, we need to take a closer look at those to see what they would do, but I think even dealing with those, our colleges would not like a situation where they were told which days they could and could not hold classes on, or to the language in the bill, I think it's line 18 on the page 1. It says, a portion of the following day shall be set apart and observed at the community college by appropriate activities. Again, the question there would be, what's the appropriate activity? Again, it's a governance issue. I don't know specifically what our colleges do in observance of these days. I think that changes at each college as they see for their community and their students. So that would be my concerns initially. Might need more time to look it over.
Thanks. Okay. Oh, excuse me, Representative Hobson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Having some familiarity with K-12 negotiated agreements, I know that in many of them with OEA and OSEA, that the dates are specifically listed as to when staff, be they classified or certified, will not have to be at work. From your experience with negotiated agreements with which you deal, do some of your contracts list those also, and these probably aren't in there?
Mr. Chair, Representative Hobson, I'm not certain whether they're actually delineated in the contract itself, but I do know, as an employee of the system, that I receive a memo every year telling me which holidays that we will observe and which holidays that we will not observe. And I work the holidays that we do not observe, and I have the days off, with the exception of legislative session, that I have, you know, I have those days off. So we, those are outlined, and I'm not, again, I'm not sure if that's in contract or if that's in board policy and our internal management directives.
Chair Backlund, Representative Hobson, I would have to be checking on that to see exactly how that is stated in contract.
Lisa, I need to ask a question. Does this mean you're off on April the 25th?
No, Mr.
Oh, you don't have to answer that.
No, I'll be in the office catching up with paperwork.
So. Okay. Well, thank you. Matt, could you come up again, please? Matt, I'm looking at the dash ones in the second page, section four. It discusses a state institution of higher education. The first page pretty much dealt with community colleges. And this subsection 1 indicates may not be required to attend classes on a legal holiday. Am I missing the Saturday? You had the Saturday for community colleges, but no mention of Saturday for the higher education. Right. Is that true?
The Saturdays on the dash 1, I believe, were also removed from the community colleges.
Yes.
If I'm understanding the question right. Is it, was it not removed from...
Okay. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm sorry. You're right. Yeah. Okay. I was making sure that was not treating the two in a different manner. And if it were, I was going to ask you why. But I see that. Yeah. Okay. Well, comments? Okay. Well, I think, again, we've had some issues raised. And I think it would be the wrong thing for us to do to press ahead. So I think we will adjourn the work session and make a decision as to where we'll go from here. Matt, we thank you for bringing the bill. And you raise a point, certainly about legal holidays. I've often wondered why my alma mater across the street starts classes on Labor Day. I thought that was unusual. But I think it could be a very much so a local governance issue, and we'd have to have the philosophy then, if we move this, that we as a committee or as a legislature should be dictating when or when not universities or community colleges should be having classes. So we'll have to consider that, I think, and also just in general to decide what we think we ought to do. So thank you very much, everyone. With that, then, we'll close the work session on House Bill 3140, and we'll open a work session on House Bill 2904.
Yes. House Bill 2904 establishes a pilot program of cyber awareness, responsibility, and ethics to help students become safe and responsible citizens of cyber community. Allows school districts to apply for grants from the Department of Education to pay for participation in a pilot program. Sunsets July 1st, 2005. Declares an emergency effective July 1, 2003. Appropriates $200,000 out of the general fund. And I don't have any amendments.
Okay. This was brought to us by Representative Tummel, and he is next door, I think, in a judiciary or upstairs in a judiciary. But we do have you two folks here. It's nice of you to come down. And I think this is an idea that probably we've not heard before, and it's, I think, an intriguing idea. So with that, you can certainly proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is George Houston with the Hillsborough Police Department, and I'll let my colleague identify himself here.
For the record, Mr. Chair, my name is John Jones. I'm retired recently from the natural gas industry with earlier background in university and public school education.
Okay.
Representative Crummell was, I think, going to try to kick this off and do that. So I will muddle forth on this, if you don't mind. And this concept, the cyber awareness, responsibility, and ethics concept, was formed last summer in kind of thinking done after the 9/11 tragedy and the federal mandate to form partnerships and work on homeland security and the whole issue of securing cyberspace. And it had been my experience as an FBI agent. I'm a retired FBI agent who had spent 17 out of his 21 years working high-tech crime, that when you go to knock on a door, on a hacker's door, and the door opens and it's a 16-year-old kid, and you identify yourself as an agent of the FBI, and why are you doing this? That's the first time many of these kids realize that something really, that there's been some huge consequences from some of their actions. And I didn't want to have, I felt this was the wrong time to be addressing this problem. There should be some awareness that should be put into place for these kids to help them have a balanced idea of where they're going. And they tend to have tremendous skill sets in cyberspace, not necessarily great judgment. So it's sort of akin to putting a kid on the highway in a car without knowing the rules of the road or going through any sort of a driver education course. With that, I will defer to Representative Crummell.
Representative Crummell, it sounds like you're out of breath, but hopefully you can catch it quickly.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, I'm State Representative Jerry Crummell, House District 26. I apologize that I wasn't here when you first called this up. I was just told by my staff that it was up and running. So you've already been introduced to the concept. The primary reason why I'm interested in this is that in my job outside of the legislature, I do work in the cybersecurity world. And one of the things that I see as being a huge event that we would not like to see, or I guess a huge nightmare, really, is the situation where somebody knocks on the door and says, hi, I'm George Houston, and I'm from the FBI, and somebody on your computer has been hacking into somebody else's computer, and that is a federal felony, and I'm here to talk to you about it. And you find out that it was the 13-year-old that gets home from school and doesn't have anything else to do, and they've been playing on a computer and not realizing that they're necessarily violating federal law. So with that, Mr. Chair, I'm going to I will stay here for questions, but I'd just prefer to let George and John, you've already met them, go ahead and I give you their testimony, and hopefully you'll find favor with the bill and move it on to Ways and Means after this is over with. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, I guess to sort of wrap it up here, we have done a significant amount of work as a volunteer grassroots effort in this CARE program in combination with the Girls and Boys Club of Hillsboro. The Portland Metro Boys and Girls Club is on board with this. We've got high-tech volunteers. We've got a police reserve specialist program that we run out of Hillsboro. Of whom there are 12 of them, and 11 of them are high-tech geek type folks that are very heavy into computers, grew up with them, are software engineers and so forth. These people also saw the need and have jumped in as volunteers to put effort into establishing this for this program for the kids. So with that, I guess I will turn it over to you. And
I might ask a question either of you, George, or perhaps Representative Crummell. On line 7 of the bill, the goal of the pilot program is to help students who are 12 to 14 years of age. Was there some particular reason you picked 12 to 14? Would that have any fiscal impact if it was, say, 10 to 17, or what do you think?
John, Mr. Chairman, I'll address that. One of the things that the group of volunteers working on the program were very, very confident about was that they were not at all confident in knowing where the best target of opportunity was. And as a result of that, we went to the Hillsboro School District, technology people, curriculum specialists, and the Beaverton, similar groups of folks from the Beaverton schools, and we inquired about that. This seems to be the age where the youngsters have access to the tools, have not yet formulated their ethical base, still trying to decide who they are and where their commitments are.
and we were advised by the school people themselves that this was the ideal place to work. So it was with that group of youngsters at the Boys and Girls Club where we ran a pilot test that we focused on. The materials are specifically crafted in the language of that age group. We use the standard curriculum guidelines for constructing it so that a teacher at those levels wherever will recognize the language and the material.
Okay. Representative Hobson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I noticed there's a trademark after the logo, and in the description of the school districts using it, are they required, first of all, to use this specific curriculum? And if so, what's the organization or the company or whatever that is responsible for the curriculum? And I assume it's a packaged curriculum.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Hobson, yes, this has been kind of an interesting dynamic in packaging this. We wanted to be able to have some control over not only the materials, but also the people that are presenting the materials in this. So it was we sought the counsel of a patent attorney, and we're in the process of getting a trademark licensing set up for CARE. Now, the way it's being set up is that the CARE logo itself, without the badge, is the way it would be trademark, so that if a school district or a law enforcement agency or someone wanted to sign on with it, they could add their badge to that logo, and that would not be a violation of the mark. But we wanted to have control over content, so that we wanted to encourage people to build on the content once we introduce it. So we're looking towards an open licensing agreement where. Or a GPL, as it's kind of known in the industry, where you're welcome to add to it and contribute to it, but you cannot call it your own. You have to share it.
Okay. Representative Hobson?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Does that also include the staff who would be teaching it, or is it taught by local district staff?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Hobson, I'd like to address that.
Thank you.
One of the really important parts of the concept at this point is to have senior youngsters working with the younger youngsters. And that means there's a good deal of training and involvement. Also, in our pilot, we mentored the youngster who was doing the teaching with the youngsters so that those cul-de-sacs that they will walk in, they have a way of getting out. Addressing your specific question, every district will approach this in their own way, and we're cognizant of that, and we're going to encourage them to use this model, older youngsters like Boy Scouts do, like the YMCA does, because that gives us a special power and a special linking between the youngsters. But only the individual school districts like Tillamook will make a choice of how they're going to implement the material.
Follow-up?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Who trains the older students who are then, in fact, going to train the younger students?
Excellent question. Let me ask George to address.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Hobson, the way it's laid out now in our Hillsborough pilot is that the police reserve specialists, the folks that are working as reserve police, non-sworn personnel that are technically proficient in these areas, are going through the process of training the student teachers. And once they go through the process of training the student teachers, then they will mentor them in the classroom. But the idea is that we want to try to maintain this kids teaching kids feature of it. And as we go through this program, we're going to be scouting for other kids that go through the program that we can in turn bring on board to become student teachers.
Follow up.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Actually, it's to revert back to the previous question. To whom does the money go? the question that I had asked about buying the packaged curriculum, if you will, to whom does the money go to get the packaged curriculum? Is there an organization that's the recipient of that?
Yes. Mr. Chairman, Representative Hobson, the grants that are discussed in the bill would go to the school district that would apply to the State Board, State Department of Education, and if successful, would use those funds as the district felt it was necessary. Sometimes, we're all well aware, teachers already overburdened need some incentive to take part in even the best of programs. Sometimes a union restricts teacher participation in any kind of activity, of a development activity like this. We see some of the monies on the basis of the individual district's decisions and needs. Obviously, replication of material, production, printing of the paper material will be an important part of the small grant. It's not our intent to try to dictate anything, but to provide tested, reliable, valid instructional materials to districts that are interested. Tell them what has succeeded as our experience has gone forward. Tell them what hasn't worked, and encourage them to use a model like this if they have the time and the inclination. But get out of their way and let the teachers who already know their youngsters and their community do their jobs.
Okay. Thank you very much. It's an intriguing idea, and we appreciate your bringing it to us. And thank you, Representative Crummell, for doing just that. Do we have any? I see a representative or two from the ODE. Would you care to comment?
Yes, please.
Oh, thank you.
Can I say something?
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Hobson. This is a fabulous idea. I just think it's great, and it's an area that hasn't been looked at too much. Obviously, because of all the financial circumstances, I will have some concerns, but I think it's an area some of us that are over, I hate to say what age, but certainly over 50.
Well, the bill over 12 talks about 12
before. Exactly. That's probably true, and I really appreciated your answers on that, because we tend to think it takes a certain level of experience and intelligence and practice to get to that, and we're finding that it's younger and younger where kids are getting into this. So I think it's really a neat idea, and I do appreciate you bringing it.
Well, thank you so much, and it is. We've done a fair amount of research on this, and it is not being done, to our knowledge, anywhere else. So,
yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Chairman Backlund, representatives of the committee, for the record, my name is Carla Wade. I'm the Technology Education Specialist with the Department of Education. And I'd just like to say I'm thrilled to see programs or resources out there like this for our schools, because all of our schools, as a part of the requirements for their funding for the Title IID EdTech funds out of No Child Left Behind and for E-rate discounts, are required to provide teaching to kids about internet safety, along with filtering devices for students as they're using the internet in the schools. I'd also like to say that this supports some of the other materials that are out there, for instance, from the Oregon School Library Information System, better known as OSLIS, where there are a variety of resources of this type for K-12 education, internet safety resources, as well as those kinds of activities that help students become discriminating users of the internet, identifying good information versus just information that's out there, because as we all know, there's a variety of different things out there. Our department has helped support professional development for teachers in using these OSLIS materials, and I see what this resource that's being developed by Hillsborough is another resource out there for schools. That's a good thing.
Okay.
I'll entertain any questions.
Do you have a problem? Line 16, second page, indicates that the grant is $200,000 earlier, and then it says no more than 5% of the money is to pay for expenses. Is 5% reasonable, acceptable, too low, too high?
When we did a fiscal analysis of this bill based on other types of activities that we have in terms of grants in the department. This was what we came up with was about $77,000 to be able to do the grant, to look at the materials, to identify materials. I didn't realize at the time we did this that there were materials developed already, but we would probably want to look through the materials in the same way that we do other materials in our instructional materials process review. And but in terms of the other grant management pieces, the $10,000 is significantly lower than what it would take to get the job done.
Okay. Thank you. Representative Crummell, could we ask you to come up again, please?
Yes, sir.
Thank you very much. If we were to move this bill to Ways and Means, if 5% is not enough, would you be willing to... line 16, second page, change that 5% to a different percent.
Mr. Chair, for the record, Jerry Crummell, State Representative, District 26. I am, but I'm concerned about the reason why that was put in there, quite frankly, Mr. Chair, is because I'm concerned about the perception, I guess, that the Department of Education is a black hole, that dollars that go in never come out. And what I'm not trying to poke the Department of Education in the eye. Please understand that. And I understand if the costs are higher, then we do need to know that. The idea is that for the dollars that are being allocated, and I only attached $200,000 to this, I thought that would be pretty reasonable, is to get the dollars on the ground in the schools where the program is going to be presented. This is a pilot type of program. Let the school districts decide if they want to compete for the dollars, and if they do, the dollars are going for training of the people and of the teachers involved, and then for the materials that are going to be used in the program, and certainly if there's other materials that are out there that are better to use than the materials that have been utilized or that have been developed by Hillsborough, then that should be the case. But I guess the short answer is yes, I'm willing to amend that, but I do want to try to keep a lid on the dollars that are going into administration versus the dollars that are actually on the ground going to the district for the purpose of supporting the program.
Okay, thank you. Committee, I think we'll take a short recess, and we can stay in a room, hopefully, and we'll be back in a very brief time. So, temporary recess. Temporary recess to consider the what would be the proper amount in terms of administering the program. Committee, I'm inclined to move the bill. It goes to Ways and Means. We'll let them decide what the proper percentage should be in terms of administration of this. It'll have a very tough going down there because it's new money. And we are in big trouble financially, and so new money is going to be tough to come up with. But on the other hand, if we make no attempt, it has no chance. And so, with that in mind, I would be happy to entertain a motion. I just represent Farr. You're ready for us?
Yes, Mr. Chair. I move House Bill 2904. The bill be referred to the committee, to the Ways and Means Committee by prior reference with a due pass recommendation.
Okay, thank you, Representative Farr. Representative Farr moves a due pass, moves House Bill 2904 with a due pass, then a subsequent referral to the Ways and Means Committee. Discussion? Representative Hobson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I will be your perennial naysayer on things. I'm not willing to send it to Ways and Means, where I think we can pretty well assume it would die a death anyway, because I laud the program. I think it's a wonderful program, and I think it deserves some real consideration. On the other hand, I'm real uncomfortable with it going to the Department of Education, with all due respect to their support. And I think sometimes people fail to we're talking $100,000 a year here, really. We divide it up in the biennium. It means that the department has to write specifications. They have to send out a request for proposal. They have to have all those proposals come in. They have to have, heaven forbid, they should make a decision on their own. They'll have to bring teachers in to read all those proposals, to screen through them, to do the notification, and then to monitor, because we have to hold the schools accountable for the pittance of money that they end up getting to do this. And I guess with the pressures that we're putting on the black hole, if you will, but I want to make sure that they're not really seen as that, I'm just unwilling to throw another item at them, and so I will reluctantly be a no.
Thank you. Okay, Gina, you call the roll, please.
Did you say no? I forgot the other way.
Excuse?
Yes.
Aye.
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 Aye. Having achieved the constitutional majority, House Bill 2904 is declared passed. Committee, we've gone faster today than we anticipated. Oh, excuse me. No carrier. We've gone faster than we anticipated, but we've done our business today, and thank you very much. And with that, then, we will declare the meeting adjourned.